Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Waiver Wire Week 3. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia, and it's Monday, and you know what that means. It's waiver wire time. That's right. We're going to hit the waiver wire for week three. We still have games going on tonight. Not one, but two, but it doesn't stop us from looking at the waiver wire, and I know a lot of you are looking to it because there were certainly some injuries to discuss. Certainly a big injury at the quarterback position too. Trey Lance will be out for the rest of the season with that broken ankle. That news certainly changes the dynamic of that 49ers offense quite a bit. We're going to get into that. Derek Brown, D-Bro, a.k.a. the King of Bros, is with us today. And my good buddy, Chris Allen, is joining us. And if you haven't already followed this dude on Twitter, what the hell is wrong with you? Go to Chris Allen, FFWX. That's a Twitter handle. Follow him. He works as a contributor of 444 Football, Football Guys, NBC Sports Edge, Established a Run. You remind me of me, Chris, where I was working 5,000 places. You were doing fantastic work, man. You are a grinder. I am so happy you're here to break down week three waiver wire with us.
No, I'm so glad I get a chance to come back and talk with you all again, because Joe, I mean, like we were talking last time, it's been a long time coming for us to get back together. And Derek, we go back how many years, brother? So no, I'm so happy we get a chance to talk ball as we roll into week three.
Yeah. So many weeks, man.
Let me tell you, man, like yesterday was for a lot of people who were very excited about the potential of Trey Lance in this game yesterday. I mean, you got to talk about this. This is the big story, I think, going in. I feel like we should be playing that like Boys to Men song. It's so hard to say goodbye. We got to pour a little out for Trey Lance, and Jimmy Garoppolo's back. So to me, the big thing I'm taking away, and I know it's not the trade show, I know that's tomorrow, but my whole thing is everybody should be going trying to acquire Deebo Samuel. Cause with Eli Mitchell out, Deebo Samuel, I think, goes back a little bit more into that role now, cause you don't have that rush equity of Trey Lance. To me, I know it's waiver wire time, but trade time, I'm getting Deebo wherever I can. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely, man. And there's people like after 2 weeks that are even like looking at possibly dropping Ayuk for any kind of sexy names in the waiver wire as well, which I know that sounds crazy, but to some shallow leagues, you could see this happen. Mm-hmm. I'm totally into investing in San Francisco's offense. I think that there's equity to be had. We're going to talk about the backfield some, but as well as Deebo Samuel, because we've already seen the wide back role. It's back in full effect, baby. And now that the passing volume is going to come up with Jimmy Garoppolo under center, I'm totally with you, Joe.
Now, what we're trying to do is give you the names at all the positions to add this week. And if you need extra help, and, you know, it never hurts to get some extra help, the waiver assistant is here for you. It's a great tool over at My Playbook to help you figure out who the players are that can help your roster the most, help your bench get a little beefier, help your main roster get a little stronger as well. Everyone knows I'm a wrestling guy, so I like to use the phrase main roster, but it's an easy way to find out which players to improve your team and by how much. So go to fantasypros.com/myplaybook now. And remember, only premium subscribers get the most out of Waiver Wire Assistant. So if you are not currently a subscriber, go to fantasypros.com/offers, make a small deposit in one of our partner sites. And just like that, you get 6 free months of our premium product that gets you access in our Discord to us. It gets you access to stages. It gets you access to the premium products of Fantasy Pros, including Waiver Assistant. That's what you need to help you out. Again, that's fantasypros.com/offers. And then check out my playbook or download the app as well. I love the app. It is spectacular. Our dev team is just absolutely crushing it, man. That app is just chef's kiss. I love it. Let's see if we love anybody to add this week. And let's start with the running back position. We're going to be using percentages from the Sleeper app. If you haven't already, move your leagues over to Sleeper. That is the place to be. It is a great app for all of your fantasy football needs.
Top waiver pickups.
Let's start with Chris. You are our guest today. Give me the name of the running back you want to add most this week, how much fab you're willing to spend on them, and let's talk about the roster percentage and how available they might be.
Sure. And I think the one that everybody's going to be looking towards, because we haven't heard at least any concrete updates this coming out of Arizona after last week or yesterday's contest, would be Darrell Williams, because James Conner, he goes out in like the middle-ish part of the third quarter. And then especially over the offseason, it was kind of a debate over, well, who's going to be splitting the touches? And we heard a lot of hype, got a lot of smoke about Eno Benjamin and the coaching staff really liking what they were seeing out of Benjamin. But it really was like Darrell Williams that came in. It was the very next play after James Conner went down. Williams comes in, gets a target. And then afterwards, he held on to a 61.5% like rushing share. He worked in on short yardage. Most of his work, I think like 6 of his 9 carries that came in on early down. So he had like most of the work and he checks most of the boxes of a running back that you would want, like if you were able to grab him up off the waiver wire. The only thing is that he wasn't really mixed in like once they got into overtime or even in the 2-minute drill. But of course, if he's not a part of the weekly game plan, we've only played like 2 games, you wouldn't expect him to be involved in those packages yet. So let's wait and see like what the team says about James Conner and what his ankle injury looks like moving forward. But at the very least, you know what the running back rotation is going to look like should he go down again. And we've seen that in the past from Conner. So if for my money, at least let's say 10-15% like of my fab budget, if I can go ahead and grab a guy that's 9% rostered on Sleeper, I'm going for Darrell Williams this week.
All right, D-Bro, let's go to you. Who's your number one ad this week at the running back position?
I keep bringing this name up because it's ridiculous. The fact that I know I'm violating the rules, Joe, I'm above 50%.
I know you're such a rebel though. I think everyone loves you so much. Dude, you refuse to bend to the man. That's what it is.
Well, you know what? I just have to point this out because I think it's ridiculous. The fact that Brian Robinson is at 52% is absolute insanity to
Preach.
Me. We're seeing videos of him coming working out. He's on the mend. I think he's going to be back in short order. And Antonio Gibson, yeah, he had a great week one. He just stunk it up in week two. And he lost more of the routes to J.D. McKissic whenever they were trailing this week. So, okay, why do we not have Brian Robinson over 70, 80% rostered is ridiculous. It's absolutely insane. Because he could walk back into this backfield and be the starter as soon as he's 100%. That can happen. And yet, he's still sitting on the waiver wire in almost half of leagues out
there. Yeah, it's crazy. It's only 50% rostered. I thought after last week's big monologue, people would have listened to
it. Try!
You know, I think it was Antonio Gibson's good first game where people got like, well, no, you know, I'm not going to waste it. I don't. And look, some leagues, in all fairness, don't have IR spots. I think some of that roster percentage being what it is probably you could attribute to that. Like, I think, you know, I think that might be a small percentage of reason why, but he should be rostered at this point because now you're getting closer and closer to a return here. We're going to be week 3 before you know it. You want to be proactive, not reactive. All right, Chris, let's go back to you. Give me another RB. Who's your second guy you want to add the position this week?
No, I'm going to stick with that same backfield because I actually like the usage for J.D. McKissic just this past weekend, because in week one, and like D-Bro was just saying, I mean, it was good to see Antonio Gibson being involved as a pass catcher, but we saw the script change for Washington this past week. Instead of them having more of a back and forth type contest in week one, in week two, we see more of they're trailing. They need more pass catchers involved. And so that's where we saw the route utilization for J.D. McKissic start to spike up a little bit. And so looking at the next couple of weeks, they've got Philly next week, and then they got Dallas the week afterwards, games where we know they're going to be tight, possibly trailing. Let's see what Cooper Rush can do with another start like under his belt. So if I'm looking for at least some way to capture some of the past friendly nature that is the Washington Commanders at this point in the season. I like JD McKissick's role. I like the way that they're using the trend upwards of his route utilization. So I think JD McKissick, for my money, is a guy that I would at least try and get on my rosters if I can.
All right. And how much you spend again for McKissick?
If I can get like 5%, like 5% of my fab budget, not trying to spend a ton because like Debro was just saying, I mean, Brian Robinson right, like, should be coming right. back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if I can do that, 5% is fine.
Okay. Let's go to you for number two, Derek Brown at the RB position.
Can we just talk about this for a second? In the year of our Lord, 2022, we want pieces of a Carson Wentz.
Right?
Offense.
Yeah.
That's actually a thing we're talking about here.
I don't want to throw all the cold water, but I will say this. Watching that game yesterday, if you just looked at the totals of Carson Wentz, you're freaking out. You're on tilt. You're like, oh my God, this is a renaissance. But if you're watching, there's balls that are thrown in weird directions, nowhere near guys. There's balls where guys are diving for
that
balls.
That trick play that they attempted.
Trick play where he threw it, and I'm looking at myself. I'm watching it with my daughters, and they're like, who is he? Like, legit, my 10-year-old goes, who is he throwing it to? And I said, I don't know, my dear. Yeah. I don't know. But that's the thing. If you're not watching, you're just seeing the lines on Carson Wentz. Let's not get too excited. It's been shootouts. It's been fun. But there's been a lot of imperfections too, and eventually a better defense he plays is going to take advantage of those imperfections. Speaking of imperfections, let's go talk about the Miami backfield, because you might have found one here, Debro.
Oh, man, it's pain. It's total pain. Season kicked up to 11. So after week one, and we see Chase Edmonds used in the clear lead role, Mike McDaniel said, no, not too fast, sir. He decided to change this up totally. He's negated Chase Edmonds.
When did he become
into
a Bond villain? What just happened there?
I should have done like the slow turnaround in the chair and been like, this
whole I expect you to die. Yeah, what a strange.
Okay, so now we can properly frame that. If we're talking about Bond villains, the person who's sneaking in the side and he's going to take all the loot apparently seems to be Raheem Mostert. 14 touches, 79 total yards, so very Mostert-ish line. What Mostert did last week was he owned the early down role. He had all the goal line totes in week two, and Edmonds was basically negated to sexier Nyheim Hines, which is really sad. So if we're seeing this Miami Dolphins offense, if they're going to continue to put up points like this, if we see them more positive game scripts, the outside of the fact that they were trailing for a lot of that game versus Baltimore, this snap share could have flipped even further in Mostert's favor. And when they get in positive game scripts, he could handily be the guy. So I would be picking him up. I mean, right now he's only rostered in 39% of sleeper leagues. I'd be putting up, I mean, I got 12 to 15%. If you're hurting at running back, like what we're seeing out of Mostert and what we saw out of Edmonds, like if either one of those hold, like Mostert could be getting RB2 type of usage. So you're hurting at the position, or you went wide receiver heavy and you're like, look, I need running back help bad. I'm not afraid to even go higher than that. Like say to spend like 17, maybe even 20% if you're super desperate. But I think 12 to 15 is a good number for him.
And on sleeper, he's available in almost 60% of leagues too. That's a little crazy. Surprising considering it's not a player I was in on, but I know a lot of people would just wanted to hedge their bets a little bit. That is another surprising number. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Fanimal. I love live events, but I hate buying tickets. The hidden fees suck. It's the worst. It's like paying for an invisible person to go with you to the event who's not even there. I can't stand it. It's a nightmare. But then I discovered Fanimal. Fanimal has tickets to everything. Concerts, festivals, baseball, basketball, and of course, the NFL. And there are no fees. That's right. You heard me. No fees. The price you see is the price you pay. And you heard it here first. Fanimal is the cheapest place on the internet to find NFL tickets. We've all experienced how painful it is coordinating going to events with family. And I always end up fronting a bunch of money and then chasing down the friends and family to get reimbursed. And if someone drops out, you're stuck with the whole bill. That's even worse than that. But Fanimal's patent group purchase makes it easy to split payments with your friends, so nobody's left holding the bag, and you don't have to commit until your friends do. Group purchase isn't yet enabled for NFL tickets, but it will be soon. In the meantime, check out what's going on at Fanimal today. Oh yeah, Fanimal also has amazing customer service too. Don't take my word for it. Check out their hundreds of five-star reviews online. And the next time you need tickets, go to Fanimal.com or download the Fanimal app and use the promo code FANIMALPROS. That's one word, FANIMALPROS, for $25 off your first purchase. That's Fanimal, FANIMAL.com, promo code FANIMALPROS, and check out Fanimal and experience more when it comes to getting your tickets. And now, back to the action. All right, Chris, let's get to your last guy at the RB position we want to talk about here. Who else you think is worth an add in week three?
So I'm trying to turn the back end of my rosters, and I'm liking what the Atlanta Falcons are doing with Tyler Allgeier. I mean, the rookie coming in behind Cordarrelle Patterson, well, he doesn't have the targets yet. We're not seeing the passing down like usage yet, but at least from short yardage work, like for yesterday, splitting some time there with CPAT, even on early downs too, mixing in there also with Cordarrelle Patterson. I think he just like maybe four or five like touches like behind Cordarrelle Patterson, like on early downs, and also third down usage. So he's starting to check those boxes that we want to see for most of the running back workload. And so if we also start to see him being worked in on the goal line, even though that's typically like, you know, the Marcus Mariota like workload or where he's typically used at, and also with Cordarrelle Patterson as well, we can see that usage start to trend up. We're already seeing that in the second week. So they've got like a tough stretch of games like moving forward. I think next week, who they play next week? They got Denver, if I remember correctly. No, actually Seattle.
Week
three. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So at least that's a good matchup. That's fairly decent where we can see that start to work up. And then afterwards, a couple of rough games. So if you can fit him in for about maybe 1%, 2%, see how things work out, see if he continues to trend up like in his usage, that's a guy that I'm trying to get on the back end of my rosters.
Okay, he's rostered in less than 5% of leagues right now in sleeper. That's kind of crazy. I mean,
yeah.
All right, no, right? Am I looking at that correct? No.
Yeah, I've got him at, I had him at about 31% if I'm like, 30, a third of leagues or something along those lines.
Third of
leagues,
31. Yeah. Sorry, I meant to say less than half of leagues. Sorry about that.
Yeah,
not percent. But yeah, Tyler Allgeier, I think a player that a lot of us were excited about, and then we start to get less excited after that first week of Cordarrelle Patterson. But that just tells you, you know, don't panic in week one necessarily and joke dropping guys to the waiver wire who are rookies, because it takes a little time sometimes for that to happen. Let's go to any other names, by the way, that should be on the radars. Debro, anybody else that popped to you that people should be adding as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're talking about rookies that take some time. Tyrion Davis-Price, talked about him all offseason. Mm-hmm. I'd be willing to steer and fork over 10 to 12%. You look at his usage last week, and we're talking about Elijah Mitchell's going to be out for a while. Him and Jeff Wilson could easily just take over the backfield by the time Eli Mitchell gets back. And TDP last week, 30 snaps versus Wilson's 37. They both ran 10 routes. He got double-digit carries with 14, and he was right behind Wilson as far as goal line carries with 3 to 4. So, you know, I think that if we're talking about a running back that's going to see in double-digit carries and get goal line work, like he falls into the end zone in any week. Heck, if he does it twice, he's going to be a top 15, top 20 running back, as well as being, at least in flex conversation.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here's some other names too. Khalil Herbert's one that I keep, you know, I've been on this bandwagon. I told everyone to draft this guy. He's still floating around too, I think, in way too many leagues. You know, Benjamin, Chris, any of those two guys also should be on waiver wire radars this week?
No, absolutely. I'm 100% in on, I mean, Eno, like we just talked about earlier. I mean, mixing in like there, like with Darrell Williams, so 100% with that. And Khalil Herbert, I mean, David Montgomery, to his credit, I thought he looked good last night. But let's see what that workload
certainly
continues
better
to be. Yes. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like running against a tough Packers defense. But overall, I think Herbert is definitely the guy to own. Like, should anything befall like Montgomery, or even just for that contingent value on a week-to-week basis. Because I'm thinking in this game plan, it sounded like Getsy wanted to come in and try and have at least a run-first approach against this offense, which for whatever reason, like, don't ask me why they thought that was a good idea. But if we're talking about like what that workload is split is going to be like in some of their scenarios moving forward, I do like Herbert for sure.
Yeah, and they weren't exactly too keen on letting Justin Fields throw the ball that much.
Yeah, make no sense.
Now, that's got to be something you correct. Like, I understand maybe you're trying your best to keep Aaron Rodgers off the field, but he's too efficient. Like, the way you beat Aaron Rodgers is to go right at him. I think that's obviously you hit him like last week, the way the Minnesota Vikings did.
Oh, yeah.
And the way the 49ers did last year in the playoffs, too. Let's be honest. I mean, you get to that guy, like any other quarterback, they go down. It's a different game, but you got to just kind of go with them. Those two names, the same for you, Debro. Anybody else come to mind, or are those with the same two?
No, this is the same two. I mean, at least as of right now, we'll see what if injuries and things like that. And with our waiver wire article is already live at Fantasy Pros.
Look so at
Fitz so and Bo and myself work the late night. We were up till about 1 a.m. getting all this ready, and that way people could start putting in bids fast and early. So we'll keep updating that. And if any injury news kind of sifts out, we'll add some more players there, too.
We work harder so you don't have to at Fantasy Pros. Let's go. That's right. First to market. Let's go. Jakobi Meyers. That's a guy who might be getting on some of your rosters. Let's start with you here, D-Bro. Is that the guy who is number one on your wide receiver list this week?
Easily. And I'm going to call this out. He is only rostered in 39% of sleeper leagues.
He's wild.
Shame. Shame on you. Shame.
I bet he was a guy that was a very, you know, was a very popular drop last week. That would be my guess too.
That's insane to me. Like, how in the absolute hell is there a wide receiver that after two games, Joe, has garnered a 29.2% target share and he is out on the waiver wire?
I'll tell you why. It's not the right answer. It's because the Patriots offense is not sexy and he doesn't have touchdown equity. That's it. Those are the two reasons where people just they'll let that go instead of taking the points, quote unquote.
It's insane. Right. Top 40 wide receiver last year. He's averaging 9.5 targets per game. I don't have to make a massive case for this. Volume is king in fantasy. He's getting it. Why does fantasy have to be hard, people? Why do you have to make it harder than it is?
Well, look, and if history is any indication from what we saw out of the secondary with Baltimore Ravens, he's got a good matchup coming this week, I would say. Yep. Yowza, between the injuries and what was going on there. Chris, let's go. I'm sorry, 1 second. Jakobi Meyers, how much are you willing to spend on him, though, D?
I mean, I'm willing to be aggressive. 12 to 15% if you really need, because, and here's the thing about it. His usage is wide receiver two type of usage. His numbers are going to sit at most weeks, wide receiver three territory, but if he scores a touchdown, if the volume spikes up, if you need a wide receiver three type for your fantasy squad, I'm willing to go even more aggressive. Like, give me like 17 to 20% if you really need a wide receiver and you're hurting.
Chris, who's the number one wide receiver ad on your board for week three?
Oh, for me, it's Greg Dortch. I don't know what folks really need to see like from this Cardinals offense, like regarding Dortch in order to pick him up more, because if I'm looking at this right, I mean, he was only like 14% rostered. And I guess what more do you want?
It's crazy.
I mean, do you want a guy connected to a good passer? I mean, Kyler Murray, like for some of the like ups and downs of the past couple of weeks, still one of the best, still one of the better quarterbacks in the league. Do you want a guy attached to a fast paced offense? I mean, Arizona is still like top five, like top six in neutral pace. I mean, what more do we really need like out of this guy in order? And plus he's running he's getting those layup targets.
Yeah.
And last week he got like half of his targets from the slot. That still remained the case here in week two, touchdown in back-to-back weeks. It's like, what? I guess I'm not really certain what people are. Did they think it was a fluke? Did they think AJ Green found the fountain of youth and he was just going to become like this guy that he was like a few seasons ago when he was still with my Cincinnati Bengals? I'm not sure what the case was going on here. So it's just, I'm willing to be aggressive more or less, because even with the team saying like Rondale Moore like might be back soon, contend for targets in that same position, like yada, yada, yada. But at this point, like we've already seen what Dortch can be, and he has performed well, like in this position. And he has the same like profile in terms of like a size and stature compared to Rondale Moore. So it's just like, why even think about doing this one-for-one type swap? If Dortch is the guy, he's already performed well, like in that same position. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to even bump up my original thought. I was like, maybe 5 to 7%. No, let's go 8 to 10% at this point. Let's look at this from a rational perspective. The team needs pass catches. The team needs to continue to create explosives, and Dortch has been that for them. Yeah, I'll take Dortch all day long.
Dude, I added Dortch last week, and it's because of my friend Derek Brown, who on our DFS show 2 weeks ago in week one was like, telling you right now, min salary, Greg Dortch, go lock it in. And you know what? I listened finally, and this past week I had some shares, and it was the right thing to do. And I added him a couple of weeks where I had some injuries too, where I was like, look, he's going to get the target, he's going to get some looks. He had the touchdown. That's great. That's a bonus. But, dude, all the stuff you're saying right there, 100%. And by the way, you can check the DFS show. We do it live every Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern on the Twitter machine and on Facebook. And if you miss it, go to fantasybros.com where you can check it out. And a lot of people are saying, where's the pod? Where's the pod? Well, it's live, baby. We just do it now. And you can always go back and check it out after the fact. Let's go to your second guy, Derek Brown, on your wide receiver list. Who might that character be?
Well, Chris and I are just holding hand in hand and just strolling down the merry path right now. It's Greg Dortch, baby. And I'm with everything that Chris said. I'm willing to go 7 to 10% on him. I think that he, again, we've seen the production. The only other thing I'm going to add to Chris's take here, and I love everything that Alan spat out about him, was that you look at the next three matchups, it is juicy for slot wide receivers. The best cornerback matchups on the board against the Rams and Troy Hill, Carolina, whether it's Jeremy Chin or Hartsfield in the slot, or Philly. You do not want to throw against Bradberry and Slay. So what does this mean? We could see three games, if Rondale Moore doesn't come back and take this rollback, we could see three games where Greg Dortch could conceivably lead this team in targets, and I don't think that's insane to say.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Monkey Knife Fight. No math, no salary caps, no sharks, just daily fantasy player props. They're offering a free $5 first game for new signups today at Monkey Knife Fight using the promo code FANTASYPROS. That's all one word, FANTASYPROS, at Monkey Knife Fight. Get 100% instant deposit match up to $100 on your first deposit. Again, use the promo code FANTASYPROS. That's one word, FANTASYPROS, when you sign up today at Monkey Knife Fight. And now, back to the action. All right, so if you're agreeing on Dortch, give me the third guy on your list, Ebro.
All right, well, it's time to get nasty. It's time to go down the rabbit hole, but we need production, and the man is producing, so I can't shade him any longer. Noah Brown, 5% put in on him as far as a bid. He's only rostered in 4% of sleeper leagues, and I get it's not a sexy name, people, but you know what? We chase sexy production, and the fact of Noah Brown has seen a 19% target share over the last 2 weeks. He's averaging 7 receptions and 79 receiving yards per game. You take the name away from this, and this is a guy we would be spending even more money on considering the production he's putting up. But the name value and the stink around the Cowboys right now is going to land him on your roster for cheap. So you don't have to put up a ton as far as fab bids, but you're looking at a wide receiver that's almost sniffing a 20% target share, and he's putting up a ton of points, playing all the snaps, running all the routes. So go get Noah Brown.
All right, Chris, let's go back to you for your number 2 and number 3 waiver wire wide receiver ads.
So again, like what Derek was saying, absolutely, about like these next like few guys, because we're diving deep at this point. And I think
we are already.
Yeah, and I think it's good process, though, because if you're diving deep and you're not spending a ton of your fab like on these players, you're not going to wind up, once we get into like, let's say like week 10, week 11 or something like that, and you're just completely out of money because we're making speculative ads at this point. We're trying to figure out what our rosters need. Teams are like, actual NFL teams are figuring out what their identity is going to be on offense. They're still sorting stuff out. So it's okay at this point. If you're only spending a couple bucks here and there on some of these players, it might look gross, but hey, you might get some production that you need. So I'm looking at Richie James Jr. Out of the, with the New York Giants, because I'm at least liking the fact that he's their slot receiver at this point. And with some of the news I'm hearing yesterday about Kenny Galladay, locker empty, completely packed up, like after the game was done, two snaps yesterday?
In all fairness, he earned those two snaps.
Two snaps, two routes. Brother had his locker cleared out by the time they got back. It's like, it's
I cleared out for him. I was like, hey, Kenny.
He talks about Kadarius Toney being in the doghouse. Kenny Galladay's around looking like, where's the doghouse at, baby?
And Wondell Robinson's hurt too.
Wondell's hurt too. And so if we've got a guy that's playing that slot role, the easy layup targets for Daniel Jones, I know it's tough to try and tie yourself to Daniel Jones's arm, but if he is running those easy targets, and we're looking at least over the next couple of weeks, they're not great matchups, but at least their defense puts them in those negative game strips for 1%, 2% fab. I mean, you could probably pick him up on the cheap. So at least for Rich James, 3% rostered, and third and routes run this past week. And as we're just talking about, things might be changing with the Giants receiving core with whatever's going on with Kenny Galladay. So I think Richie James should be a larger part of the offense just based off his production. But if things are coming to pass, like with this whole Kenny Galladay situation, I definitely want him on my roster.
This was so frustrating, is like you're just desperate for them to try to put whatever problems are aside with Kadarius Toney and just get him the football, please. Can we just try?
Yeah.
I mean, God, I am so annoyed at that. And look, Sterling Shepard, I thought, was another good guy to add too going into the week. He got the targets. Unfortunately, Daniel Jones was all over the place. Daniel Jones does this. Like, he has a week where he looks good and you're like, oh, look at that, Daniel Jones. And the next week you're like, oh yeah, that's why. There he is. I forgot. I hadn't seen him in a while. All right. So that was your number 2, Richie James. Who was your number 3, Chris?
So I'm liking Nelson Agholor, with the Patriots, because just after 2 weeks now, week 1, Offense looked a mess. Week two, offense still somewhat in a bind, but I'll give them at least somewhat of a pass as they're going up against the Steelers' pass rush with Mac Jones being somewhat hurt with whatever that back injury was. But still, we came into the week thinking, all right, well, after this, whatever rumor it was about Robert Kraft saying that they wanted Kendrick Bourne more involved in the offense, Nelson Agholor, like in two straight weeks, I mean, second on the team in terms of targets run, also getting like the actual, earning the looks like from Mac Jones. So it's looking like moving forward, if this team is going to be at least league average in terms of pass rate over expectation, which I think after this past week, they're 17th or 18th, which is okay. That's fine. Matchups like moving forward, not great, but still like at least viable, like for a pass catcher as well. And again, if we're only spending 1-2% of our fab budget, speculative ads at this point. So if he's the guy that's earning some looks from Mac Jones, hey, I'll take it. And also create explosives on the back end too, after what we just saw yesterday.
It was a great contested catch yesterday. It was
exactly. So it's just that's the kind of receiver I want.
And Devontae Parker, non-existent. I mean, he's had two targets in the two games. He has one reception. He has one fantasy point in half PPR right now. I mean, all this stuff we heard about Devontae Parker being the guy, that ain't true, at least not right now. So right. I don't know what's going on. He's going to be hitting the waiver wire hard. All right, let's go to your last guy, D-Bro. Who is your number four wide receiver ad?
Well, I stopped holding hands with Chris and I decided to take the Joe hanging fruit. Sterling Shepard. Again, 1-2%. He's only rostered in 21% of sleeper leagues. I look at Sterling Shepard as the discount version of Jacoby Myers. It's the same bet.
Yeah, I think that's a really good analogy.
Sterling Shepard got a 29.4% target share last week. This team, like we're talking about, Alan told you about Richie James. We're talking about Kadarius Toney. I'm telling you to put in bids for Sterling Shepard. It's because somebody has to step forward. They're going to get volume. And yes, I understand that Sterling Shepard's stat line was gross. 6 receptions for 34 receiving yards. In PPR, I'm sorry, but that still plays up, baby. If he got into the end zone, just with raw volume, if he scores, and even if he puts up these nasty stat lines, aren't we saying that like that's probably going to be high-end wide receiver 3 numbers? If not, maybe sneak into low wide receiver 2 numbers? That type of volume? It's the same bet as Jacoby Myers, except guess what? You're probably going to have to spend a little more for Jacoby Myers. You're not for Sterling Shepard. Just follow the volume, people.
Yeah, follow the volume is correct there. And it's funny, Dortch and Shepard were my two most added players over the weekend when I saw all these injuries free. Because I think we all, as Chris was alluding to, you know, if you stay ahead of the curve on some of the deeper names and you're following some stuff, you take some shots for a buck or even in some leagues where you can get them for free on Sunday morning. Look, man, you just pick up these players and stash them and see what happens here. Chris, give me the last name on your wide receiver list.
Now, I know that with the Colts being in complete disarray yesterday, I mean, putting up a bagel against the Jaguars.
Here, I love this name.
The Jags own the Colts.
I mean, this is the same world that we thought, Matt Ryan, like, coming to the Colts. Oh, yeah. I mean, AFC South champions, baby. We got this in the bag. And then now, I don't know what's happening right now. But I loved Ashton Doolin when he came out of college. He was one of those guys that, I mean, small school dude. Was it Malone, if I'm remembering correctly? Whichever college that he comes from. Yeah. But, I mean, if we look at his talent coming out of college, we heard at least the offseason drumbeat that he was one of the guys that the coaches were talking up as well. I mean, outside, of course, the Jonathan Taylors, Nyheim Hines, Michael Pittman, blah, 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 blah. But he gets in on his first game with both Pittman and Alec Pierce out, the rookie out of Cincinnati. I mean, 6 targets on 25. I think he was like third in routes run amongst the rest of wide receivers that were still there. So, I mean, instantly walks in and commands like a high target utilization in there. So it's like, Alec Pierce, who was essentially supposed to be in the starting role with a similar position. I mean, if you compare the two, I think Pierce is 6'3", like 210. Let's see, if I'm remembering correctly, like Doolin's like 6'1", like 208, like somewhere in there. So about the same size, same stature, and they play a similar game. And if Doolin can come in and immediately command like that level of targets and actually produce like on those targets as well, again, for 1-2% of your fab, I mean, it's no lock that Pierce is going to continue to hold that role. He's a rookie. He needs to come along, learn the NFL game. So I do like what his prospects are looking forward, assuming that this Colts passing game can get back on track, but we'll see about that for sure.
Well, I don't know if it can get worse. But you know what, to your credit too, yes, he did go to Malone. First of all, well done. I did double check you. Well, look at that. Chris Allen, so smart. But there's maybe some long-term appeal too, because we keep looking, who's the other guy besides Pittman? And I look, people can take their Paris Campbells. They know what they can do with it. Like, I mean, I don't know how
Michael Strong.
Yeah, I don't know. But the thing is, Doolin's a rookie. We've seen these guys sometimes emerge out of nowhere and make impacts. There's a little bit more long-term appeal than people realize to that. And Ree is rostered in what? How many? What's the percentage on him? 1%. Yeah. So the people who were panicking yesterday and had Pittman and had nobody else in the deep league, that's it. Like, I mean, come on, like, go out there, you know, 5% rostered. It's crazy where these guys are. So you throw a buck on them, you know, and just figure it out. I mean, he was 0% rostered before Sunday, and that jumped up to 5. So he's still, he is available. Let's just put it that way, in a lot of leagues. Speaking of available, I think we all need some help at the quarterback position now with Trey Lance out. I know some people didn't draft that second quarterback. It's funny, D-Bro. I don't know how many shows we did where we talked about if you have Trey Lance, you'd be very wise to make an investment in a Carr, in a Cousins, in somebody else with one of your last picks who's free out there, in Aaron Rodgers if he slips too far, just to give yourself the out if performance was bad or an injury happened. And if you listened, then you're okay. And if you didn't, now you're hitting the waiver wire. So look, let's talk about it from a super flex standpoint. Let's talk about it too from, you know, just a regular single QB standpoint. Who are you looking at that has a good upside potentially week 3 that you want to play and you want to put some money on a QB?
Joe, I know you love this player so much. I know that you've checked the outline and you're already ready to just push back, but I like rushing quarterbacks, Joe. You like rushing quarterbacks. Apparently you just don't like this rushing quarterback. Marcus Mariota, man. Like, he's looked good over the last 2 weeks playing quarterback for Atlanta. Drake London has stepped forward as the number one. Mariota is looking to feed him, and he's throwing the ball well, Joe. Like, come on, man.
I can live with it this week against Seattle. Okay. But against Cleveland.
Good.
Cleveland, Tampa, and San Fran after that. Good luck. Like, there's a better chance he doesn't.
Well, I mean, we're talking about this week. We're talking about streaming. Okay. And the thing that I can't get over with Marcus Mariota is the rushing upside is definitively there. Week one, got in the end zone, 72 yards on the ground. Week two, he still put up 16 more yards. The rushing is going to go back up. I think Seattle is a fantastic matchup for him to exploit. I mean, they're eighth in yards per attempt allowed in week one. We'll see where that shakes out after week two. And they just allowed Jimmy G to look like a pretty competent quarterback in the NFL. So you're telling me that I can find a cheap Konami code quarterback that's rostered in less than 20% of leagues on Sleeper? Yeah, I'll be happy to roster him this week.
Well, I think I'd rather in desperation roster him than say Daniel Jones against the Cowboys defense.
Oh, like that. Absolutely.
That we can all agree on. Like, if I'm just streaming, okay, it's a deeper league and I got to go Mariota over Daniel Jones, that's fine. I know you're going to laugh at me. I had to start Jared Goff in a couple leagues. It's funny.
I was just about to ask you about that. I was going to say, if him and Goff are out there, who are you grabbing?
Goff is my third quarterback in a lot of super flex leagues, and I'm glad he is. And I get it exactly, because I figured, look, it's not going to be pretty all the time. It's Jared Goff, but can he put up some points? Yes. Well, he's QB 18 week one, QB 5 yesterday. Again, we still got a couple games left, so it'll probably go click down a couple notches. But still, like, Jared Goff ended up being a pretty good play yesterday. I think I would go with Goff. He's got Minnesota next week, then Seattle, New England, then a bye. And then after that, a little bit trickier defenses. But I think Goff has a better run of schedule than Mariota does potentially. But Chris Allen, how do you see the quarterback waiver wire this week?
I definitely like the call of the Marcus Mariota call from Derek. Just to back my boy up. I mean, he was third in all QB rushing attempts like in week one. And like those. And so I know a lot of folks say QB rushing. Oh, yeah. Some of those are scrambles and blah, blah, blah. He actually tied Jalen Hurts in the number of designed runs in week one.
Yes, I heard that stat from Derek Brown last week.
Joe didn't want to hear it then, and he doesn't want to hear it now.
I'm just saying, like, for all the bad sound bites from Arthur Smith, like in his press conferences over the past couple of weeks, the dude is actually trying to scheme up his quarterback and put him in positive situations. So That's true. Yeah, but the other guys, obviously, with Trey Lance going out, I mean, the team quickly switched to Jimmy Garoppolo, and I know it was in a positive matchup. Everything just kind of flipped back, and they know how to game plan, like with Jimmy Garoppolo under center. I think he just last week, as of right now, since we've still got two games to go, he's second EPA per play amongst all quarterbacks, even just coming in as a pinch hitter, like with Trey Lance going down. So I get it. But next week, what's got Denver, Rams, Carolina, and Atlanta over the next like 4 weeks. I mean, at least two easy matchups. We'll see. I mean, they've typically been able to play the Rams like fairly straight up, like over the past like few seasons. So they know how to game plan for that, what it's traditionally been a tougher matchup. But like Derek was saying, I mean, with Troy Hill in the slot, we know that they can take advantage of that particular matchup. So if you can go out and get Jimmy Garoppolo at this point, again, 10 to 15%, I would be like somewhat aggressive of him because you do know that he's the starter. You do know that then over the next like 3 to 4 weeks, they've got positive matchups. So it's Jimmy G for me.
Right. You know what he's got, you know, his limitations as well. I mean, that's the thing you have to remember, you know, he's not the savior necessarily. He is.
Oh, he's not going to get a rushing touchdown every week like yesterday. That's not going to happen.
No, that is not going to happen. Which, by the way, how pissed off was everybody that rolled with his.
That's the dagger.
Jr. We're not talking about that. I played Jeff Wilson yesterday.
That's the dagger.
We're not talking about that.
Yeah, that hurt. Yeah, that hurt bad. I saw that and I was like, well, the first, and he also had one deep ball too. I was like, who are you? You're throwing deep balls and you're rushing. Who does that, Jimmy Garoppolo? Because it doesn't look like Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right.
Don't worry. He'll remind us all, just like Daniel Jones reminds us. They always come back. Yes. All right, let's talk about tight ends to stream here. Chris Allen, you go first here on this one. Who's the tight end worth picking up this week?
So I like Tyler Conklin, to be quite honest. I mean, the Jets
like this
are surprisingly good. Like, I don't
Joe
know.
Joe Flacco what, season. Like, let's go.
It's really just one of those.
He like, said it like Ron Burgundy.
It was very like, Ron Burgundy.
They're good. Yeah. Like, what happened here? Like, where did Joe.
A game?
Who is this Joe Flacco person actually performing well? But if we want to try and at least look at this from a, from a quantification or like for an analytical standpoint, Tyler Conklin, like just yesterday, I mean, 41 routes run at the tight end position. And like, that's what I want to see, like from my streaming tight ends, like just take away the jersey, take away the team affiliation, all that stuff. If you're telling me this tight end is out there running routes and actually earning targets, like off of those routes that I want to be invested in that particular tight end. And so if he's running those types of routes, that's like Travis Kelce-ish, like, that level of routes being run. I mean, of course, we're not going to get the same production, but at the same time, it's like if they're using him in that fashion, give me that guy, especially in a pretty decent matchup like coming out this week, too.
Yeah, just 8% rostered. So he is available. The tight end you're going to talk about here, Derek Brown, this guy was actually my most rostered tight end in DFS this weekend because I feel like this was starting to move in this direction. And then we got the touchdown out of him and got a couple other interesting looks in that game. It's Logan Thomas. So talk to me about Logan Thomas.
I try to tell people, if you're tuning into the YouTube comment, the YouTube content, I came out with my top five stashes before the weekend. Logan Thomas was on the list. So I'm trying to tell people, trying to help you get a jump. But Logan Thomas is still out there. He's only rostered in 20% of sleeper leagues. I'd be willing to put in up to 10% because the fact of it is we've seen Logan Thomas produce. We've seen him put up top 10 numbers. If the Carson Wentz-led offense keeps doing these types of things, we want offenses that are going to throw and that are going to score touchdowns. And it looks like the Commanders right now are doing those things. Logan Thomas, the other thing about it is we're seeing things out of Logan Thomas's game that we have not seen before, in the sense that week one, we're looking at a player that was top 13 in yards per route run and air yard share. His ADOT has been extremely healthy.
But he was always higher on the yards per route run, I thought, back in the, even the, he, 2 years ago when he was efficient. Useful. Not efficient, but he had a lot of, the
he ran a lot of
routes.
Yeah.
He ran a lot of them. Yeah. Unfortunately, no quarterback could see him, but which is weird because he's a big guy. Yeah. You'd think that they would say, oh, look, he's this big guy who's open over the middle. But yes, he was one of the more, I say, higher route runners in the league, but it's nice to see somebody maybe starting to take advantage of that. And that's where Carson Wentz's bread and butter was. It was Zach Ertz all those years in Philadelphia. That was the bread and butter of the Carson Wentz success level.
Well, and for Thomas, I think there's actually a higher ceiling he can get to because he's still not like Allen's talking about Tyler Conklin, which I think is a fantastically short call. I love that call. But the thing about Logan Thomas, his route participation in weeks one and two is only at 63% and 60%. So we're looking at it. He's put up these two stat lines and he's not even running 80% of the routes. They're easing him back in coming off the injuries.
Right from the injury.
He gets to 80%. His numbers are also going to spike. So you're getting in, I think, at the basement possibly for Logan Thomas.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I'm all in. Let's go, baby. And he's going to be cheap again in DFS this week, too. I guarantee it.
Yep,
guarantee. Yep. All right. Let's go to streaming D's of the week. Derek Brown, where are you going for the streaming defense?
apparently I need to buy like some Falcons gear or something, because I just keep bringing up all these Falcons players. Like, we've talked about Tyler Allgeier from Allen. I've talked about Mariota. I'm going to tell you about their defense, because their defense is doing things that I played a ton of them in DFS this last week that worked out well against a really good offense for the Rams. But you're looking at this Atlanta defense, and it's not the Atlanta Falcons defense of old. They have cornerback upgrades on the outside with Hayward and Terrell. They're also top 15 in pressure rate. I think that continues to go up because they're blitzing at a top 10 rate. So yes, the Rams hung 31 on them, but they also got a sack and they picked Stafford twice. So we're looking at, oh, look at that, fellas. They get the Seattle Seahawks this week. Geno Smith, come on down. Let's go. Yes, play the Falcons. And you're not going to have to pay up for them. Like, this is a defense you could legit probably pick up after waivers have run, probably like on Saturday or Sunday, when everybody's already been like, I picked up all the defenses. There are none left for you to stream. And you're like, it's okay. I got the Falcons, baby. And I'm not going to pay anything for them.
When in doubt, attack the Seahawks. Do you have a defense in mind, by the way, Chris? Just out of curiosity, that you had your eye on?
Yeah, Derek took mine, actually, because just looking at the matchups, and again, like, this defense is not as bad as we thought it was going to be going in. And I for one, like, for my money, I thought they were just going to, the entire franchise was just going to come in on vibes. It's just like, we've got the cool energy, we've got the cool players, like, this is just going to be cool, like, throughout the entire season. But no, I mean, being able to, like what Derek was saying, like, being able to actually stymie, like, the Rams, like, at, like, the right times, and, like, get the turnovers and all that, I like what I was seeing out of the Falcons defense. So, yeah.
That's, well, there's two ways to do it, right, Chris? I mean, you either do it with the pass rush up top where you don't have good corners, or if you have good corners and you can lock people down, eventually your pass rush gets penetration. Yeah, like that's it. There's two ways to play defense. You either figure out which one you are. Yeah. And then there's some defenses that have every level at it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those are the great, those are the elite defenses for a reason. Yeah, they have three different levels. All right, once again, I will acquiesce again, this the Seattle Seahawks, to all of your communal love for the Atlanta Falcons. Let's move on, shall we, gentlemen? Let's move on to our favorite top five waiver wire ads of the week. Chris Allen, give me the rundown 1 through 5 of the guys you want to add. How are you ranking them for those people who are in the formats on Sleeper and other places where they just have waivers running no fab?
Absolutely. So at least for me, I'm going to go with Darrell Williams up top, like, while we're going to see and wait and see, like, what the James Conner injury situation is moving forward. Greg Dortch immediately after that. Just begin, like, for everything that we talked about regarding his role within the offense. Jimmy G afterwards, it doesn't have to be him. I mean, I'm more of a streaming guy, and like what Derek was saying, if you can get Marcus Mariota too, I mean, there are other options available. Nelson Agholor, then Richie James, like, after that, I think they're decent pass catchers you can store at the back end of your roster, or wait for waivers to run, because who knows, your league mates probably aren't rushing to the waiver wire in order to pick either of those guys up anyway, so you might be able to get them afterwards. So those are my top five.
Okay, those are the top five for you. How about Derek Brown? Who are you rolling with at the top 1 through 5?
Brad Robinson's number one, was number one, that still is number one.
Okay, keep going.
People, yeah. No, you're right. People got to hear it. Like, they got to hear it, man. It's ridiculous. And I'm not going to shut up about it until he gets over the 60, 70% mark, because he should be. So, number two, Jacoby Myers, talked about it. We chase volume. You want the volume for Myers. Raheem Mostert's number three. If he's going to get RB2 usage, that type of utilization, yeah, sign me up. Logan Thomas is number four. I think that, again, we could see a higher ceiling in the weeks to come for him. And if he revisits top 10 production for the rest of the season, you're going to be happy you had him. And Greg Dortch is number five. I love Greg Dortch. Again, think he could be fed a ton of targets over the next 3 to 4 games.
Some really good names there, gentlemen. Let's play a little game of keep or drop.
Keep or drop.
I'm going to give you some players on the fringe of being dropped and their roster percentage over on the Sleeper app. Let's start with Kadarius Toney. It's been a frustrating couple weeks. He's 62% rostered, so some people are trying to stay strong. Derek Brown, are you keeping or dropping Kadarius Toney?
I would be dropping Kadarius Toney for any one of the top five, and maybe it's premature. That's fine. Look, we're seeing usage out of other players. Like, give me Jacoby Myers over him. Hell, even possibly give me Sterling Shepard over him.
Because, well, it's Sterling, just so Shepard's tempting, because you start to routes. See now more options and opportunity open up for him. But is it going to go to him? Kadarius Toney, keep or drop for you, Chris Allen?
I think I'm with Derek on that one, because if it's a shorter bench like type of league and you really need the space, you need producers like right off the rip, then yeah, I'm with that.
Okay, Devontae Parker, 43% roster. Chris Allen, keep or drop.
Get him out of here.
Like, yeah, I mean,
drop, D-bro.
Drop, bye. Yeah. All right, this one hurts me in the feels. Sky Moore, 58% rostered. D-bro, I feel like we're going to drop him and we're going to regret it. I really do.
I do, too. I think we're going to drop him and regret it. I don't want to do it. But look.
You know what this feels like? This feels like Amon-Ra St. Brown all over again.
Doesn't it?
It feels like, and I'm telling you right now, I'm gonna be miserable and hold him for the next few weeks because I will not let that happen to me again like it did last year. I had all the Amon-Ra St. Brown, and I dropped him right around this time, and I was so pissed off that I did, and it has all of the makings of the same problem.
Like the Macho Man says, the cream rises to the top.
Ooh, yeah.
I think that's what's going to happen here. Like, Sky Moore can't keep running routes behind Mecole Hardman. So we need these fantasy points, baby. Oh, yeah. Bring him in here. I got to hold him. I have to.
Sky Moore, Chris Allen, keep
it. I will make it 3 for 3. I'll give it one more week, and we'll see how things shake out with Kansas City.
The problem is I think we're going to have to give it 5 more weeks, and people won't have the patience. Yeah. And then when he goes, Amon-Ra St. Brown on everybody, we're going to go, oh,
maybe
wow.
By that time I'll have a better Macho Man impression. Who knows?
Ooh, yeah. George Pickens. Yeah. Ooh, 67%. Yeah. What are you going to do? Are you going to keep him or are you going to drop him? Allen?
He's off my roster. I can't at this point. I can't trust like Mitch Trubisky to support three pass catchers at least at this point. Like, nah.
All right. George Pickens for you, Derek Brown. Keep or drop.
That's what I kept telling people. I'm like, why are y'all drafting the third or fourth option on a Mitch Trubisky led offense? People are like in their preseason.
I don't know how much longer it's going to be a Mitch Trubisky led offense.
Did you see preseason, dude? Come on, man.
Kenny Pickett's coming. Winter's coming.
Versus the Nivel Zone and backup corners that are now working at the local Dairy Queen. Yes! Good George Pickens.
I love Dairy Queen. I wish there was a Dairy Queen closer to me.
I love Dairy Queen so much.
Isaiah Pacheco, 42% roster, keeper drop, D-bro.
Drop. He's a clear RB3. Drop.
Chris Allen. 100%.
Yeah. Get him off a roster. I'd rather take Darrell Williams at this point. Let me stash a guy with a bit more upside.
B-Rob, baby. B-Rob.
All right. I can't believe we haven't talked about this guy yet, but luckily we have this spot in the show. It's the sleeper waiver wire ad of the week, the pick of the week by me, Joey P. And for me, it's Garrett Wilson. Did we not see the 11 billion targets that went his way in this game? I understand. Like, I get it.
That guy said 11 billion.
Like, he's only rostered in 45% of leagues on sleeper still. And this is a premium wide receiver, arguably the most polished, everybody loved wide receiver coming into the draft. But oh no, he's going to the Jets. Well, Joe Flacco, all he's done in 2 weeks is thrown the ball his way 22 times. So volume is king. Is it to be as good as it was last week with the 2 touchdowns? No, I give the kid a lot of credit too. He came down hard on that back on the sideline, and he came back into this game. He showed a lot of heart, a lot of courage. I know a lot of the Elijah Moore owners are very upset about Garrett Wilson's performance, and they should be. Because that's a dude that right now, a little tenuous value. But my pick of the week on Sleeper, again, if you're not playing, make sure you go download that Sleeper app right now and transfer your leagues over to Sleeper next year and this year if you can. But go pick up Garrett Wilson. Come on, let's go, guys.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
Let's get to our listener mailbag from our fantasypros.com/chat. It's free to join our Discord, but... if you want to be a premium member, don't forget, go to fantasypros.com and go to fantasypros.com/offers and make a deposit. Then you can upgrade and get the waiver assistant, and you can also get access to Discord. And here's a great question from Vlad45. Oh, wait, speaking of the devil, drop Elijah Moore for Garrett Wilson. Chris Allen, would you make this move?
It's like you planned this. It's like you set this up, Joe. I feel set up. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I try.
I can't.
Once a week, I try.
I can't. Just a straight up drop, like for Elijah Moore, like for Garrett Wilson. Like, while it's good to see a polished receiver, like it's funny, a polished receiver that we all thought was going to be one of the better wide receivers in this class actually performing well.
Mm-hmm.
Who could have seen this coming?
Let's draft George Pickens instead.
Let's overrate the situation. Yeah, let's overrate situation here and just say it's going to be completely awful. I don't know. Let's look at Drake London too. I don't. Who knew?
Oh, you were friends all the way up until the end. Oh,
yeah.
Who
knew this was going to happen? Weird. But I can't. I can't. I mean, Elijah Moore is
the end of the show.
Elijah Moore is still a good wide receiver. I mean, he's still an efficient wide receiver. He's still out there running routes as well. I don't think after like a 2 touchdown performance, good for the rook. No problems
it's
there.
It's the targets, Chris. That's what I'm just do 22 targets in two games.
That's why I'm going to push back against Allen on this one.
That's why I think it's a fair conversation. But at this point, I think I'd rather hold more than just a straight up drop for Garrett Wilson.
He's got chills thinking about two jet wide receivers on my roster at the same time. Derek Brown, I actually agree with Chris. Like you pick them both. You have them both. You find somebody else to drop and you see how it goes. Because you don't know when Zach Wilson comes back, how this plays out either necessarily, who becomes the favorite son. But D-Bro, would you make this straight up move right now if you had no choice?
If you can't hold both of them, then yes, I would actually make this move. And for me, it really comes down to, I mean, we've seen back-to-back games where Garrett Wilson is getting the volume. And with his routes going up, routes per drop back last week, I don't want to be late to the party as far as Garrett Wilson in a full-time role this last week got over a 30% target share.
Like, well, what do you spend it on that? What's that worth to you?
I mean, considering the upside value from a rookie wide receiver that was a first-round pick in the NFL draft, and he here's the thing, and I don't want to be late to this party, but for all the love that we had for Elijah Moore in the preseason, what if we're wrong and Garrett Wilson was the guy we wanted, like, he's the guy we want Elijah Moore to be? That's possible. And a 30% target share in week two with Elijah Moore playing says volumes to me. I would be aggressive in getting Garrett Wilson. That's why he's the poster boy for this week's waiver call.
20% plus. Like, yeah, he's a cover boy. And neither of you had him on the list. Thank goodness I was here to save the day.
Well, the only reason I didn't have him on the list is because he didn't qualify for sleeper. He was above 50%. That's the only reason he's not my number one.
He was 45% last night when I looked.
He's way up. He was above 50, 50 when I checked this morning. And
because last night people who had those overnight waivers or those free waivers where you could just add anybody anytime,
he would have been easily
that dude got added.
So easily my number one. And I put this in the waiver wire article. I mean, like, I would be aggressive 20 to 25% of your fab, because if he is Elijah Moore, if he is what we thought we wanted Elijah Moore to be this year, but it's Garrett Wilson, you're going to be happy that you put up the money for him.
I want to thank my good pal, Chris Allen, for joining us again. Go follow him on the Twitter machine at Chris Allen, FFWX. Tremendous follow, tremendous content, Chris. You're the best. Hopefully we'll get you on again very soon. Also, check out Waiver Assistant as well. FantasyPros.com/myplaybook. That's where Waiver Assistant lives to help you figure out all the players you need to add. And of course, upgrade now, FantasyPros.com/offers. And you can get the 6 free months of our premium product. Hang out with us at Discord. Use all the tools. Win all your leagues. You know how it goes. I'd like to thank the sponsors of today's show, including Fanimal. Next time you need tickets, go to Fanimal.com or download the Fanimal app and use the promo code FANIMALPROS for $25 off your first purchase. That's FANIMAL.com. Promo code Fanimal. Check out Fanimal and experience more when it comes to your tickets. And don't forget about Monkey Knife Fight. No math, no salary caps, no sharks, just daily fantasy. Free $5 first game for new signups using promo code FANTASYPROS at Monkey Knife Fight. 100% instant deposit match, up to $100 on your first deposit. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Chris Allen and Derek Brown, I'm Joey P. We will see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.